Friends, the more the critics attack us, the more we know we're doing right, the more we'll take a stand.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I am especially glad to be with you on the air today because we didn't know if we were going to make it. I got to the airport. Well, I was at the airport in Dallas, having done some TV recording with my friend James Robison last night for the new book, Jezebel's War with America, coming out in August. And a little bit after 7 in the morning, got on the shuttle to get over to the gate. And then everything looked all right, but there was a storm. We got delayed. Just made it in. Didn't know if there'd be time for me to get my luggage. So my assistant Dylan gave me his truck, drove that back. Yeah, I drove a pickup truck today. I don't get to do that much. Yeah, to wait for my luggage and grab a taxi to get back. But we're here. We're good. Everything is ready. We are ready. Thank you so much for joining us. Here's the number to call. You can weigh in on the things of which I am speaking today. And if you differ with me, if you're critical of viewpoints I take or stands that I take, by all means, give us a call. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. In particular, to my critics, I open the phones today. Let me say a few things as I share with you my heart in terms of standing strongly and not backing down. I'm not a victim. I'm not a martyr. I'm not suffering. I'm blessed. There are believers, friends, colleagues, coworkers around the world who are suffering, who are being persecuted, who are going through living hell on this earth. I'm not, you're not, especially those here in America. You may be listening or watching in another part of the world, and you're one of those I just referenced going through horrific persecution for the faith. And even to be able to get a show like this is a big thing, and you're at risk in doing it. No, here in America, yeah, some people have lost their jobs because of their stance. Some people have been attacked for their stance. But look, no one's holding a gun to our head, literally. No one's got a knife to our throat that if we preach Jesus and stand for the gospel, we're going to die. At least that's not the case here in America today. And me in particular, the fact I get blasted day and night online and attacked, and people put out videos about me and post websites or have websites attacking me and post articles about me, I consider that a great privilege and honor. That means that we're getting a message out and some people don't like it. Now, if I was a jerk, if I was rude and nasty to people, if I was into all kinds of corrupt behavior and people hated me, then I'd retire on the spot and I'd get right with God and I'd repent of my sins and I'd repent of bringing reproach to the name of Jesus. But if I'm hated for the truth, if I'm hated for taking stands that I believe are true, I consider that a privilege and I consider that an honor. And to the extent you're maligned, maybe in your job, maybe in school, people come against you because you hold to biblical values. People come against you because you stand for the truth. People come against you because of your godly conduct. People come against you because you preach Jesus as the only way to the Father. If you suffer for that, then rejoice. Then be glad. Yeah, rejection can sting. It can sting. If it's someone you love, someone close to you, someone you care about, rejection from others you don't know often just feels like a badge of honor to tell you you're doing the right thing. But be strong. Be of good courage. Everyone who's done right and stood for truth in human history has had resistance. And the world shows how it feels about God by crucifying the Son of God. When the very image of God comes into this world, what does the human race do? Crucifies him. Kills him. And what does Jesus say in Matthew, the 10th chapter? He said, if the master of the house is called Beelzebub, then what are they going to say about the servants of his household? If Jesus, the perfect, flawless Son of God, who radiates the goodness and truth of God, who is the very image of God in human form, if he was called Satan himself, then what are his followers going to be accused of? That's why Jesus tells us in Matthew 5 that we're blessed, we're truly happy when we suffer for righteousness' sake and we're persecuted for his name's sake. That's why he tells us in John 15, if the world hated him, it will hate us also. That's why Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3 that all those who live godly lives in Messiah Jesus will suffer persecution. And to say it again, the type of persecution we experience in America is mainly verbal and then mainly job-related and reputation-related. It is not primarily a threat to our physical lives. There have been incidences here and there where there has been extreme violence against someone because they were a Christian in America, but that is not the norm, nor would the government stand for that. Whereas in other countries, the persecution is government sanctioned, as in North Korea or as in Saudi Arabia. So I'm speaking as someone blessed, as someone privileged to be on the front lines, as someone who considers it to be an honor standing with you, being your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity, standing up for truth and righteousness, helping to articulate the burdens that you feel, the frustrations that you have, because God's blessed us with a great platform on radio and internet and TV and writing. So it's our privilege and joy. So as I share some things with you, it's not because I'm feeling sorry for myself. These mean people are saying mean things about me. No, to the contrary, my team sends me the latest attack to encourage me, the latest article or video blasting us to encourage me, because this is a sign that we're doing good, that we're on the right track, that our message is being heard. I want to share a few things with you, get into the scriptures more with you. And phone lines are open. If you want to ask me a question, something's on your mind, you're wondering about something, whether it's cultural, whether it's biblical. If I almost never get calls from the critics, almost never. Sometimes when we're doing Jewish outreach shows, a Jewish counter-missionary or someone who differs with me, a religious Jew, will call in. That's awesome. And we've had some great, great conversations over the years. But for the most part, the critics attack in other ways and don't call it. Well, I work a job. I can't call. Oh, so only those who agree with me don't work at this hour or can get free. Whereas the critics all universally are busy working this hour and can't call. Look, some people can't call this hour. I understand, but there are enough critics out there that would invite you to pick up the phone and call. Speak your mind. Tell you what. Here's what we're going to do. If you really think I'm a jerk, first-class idiot, in doctrinal error or wrong on my stances about other things, political, moral, cultural issues, wrong on my stances about Israel, tell you what we'll do, all right? 866-34-TRUTH. I can't give the invitation any more openly than this. You can take up to a couple of minutes to blast me, and I won't respond. No debate. You can just tell me why I'm so wrong. Instead of just typing it out, comments I probably not going to even see, because there's so many tens of thousands of comments that come in on social media and other sites, we're going to see a fraction of them. So you get to call, blast me, tell me why I'm so wrong, okay? And you get up to a couple minutes if you're really articulate, maybe a little longer, and I won't respond to you. You just get to tell me why I'm so wrong. Fair enough? Is this what you know? Well, I'm not going to debate you. You control the mic. That's not going to happen. I won't debate. How's that? All right? So let's see, Howard, let's see what happens here. All right. This is one of the cuter quotes I've seen. You ready? I have a master's in human behavior and have seen many of Mr. Brown's videos over the years. It has always been obvious to me that he is not sincere. And most of all, he is doing what he does primarily for money. Okay. So I have a recommendation. Looks like you're going to need at least a doctorate, because you couldn't have been more wrong on your analysis in human behavior here. So it looks like you either need to go to better school or work a little harder in your studies or just go and get a doctorate and then try again. When you're done with the doctorate, then review the videos and see if you can evaluate more carefully. Okay. And then, you know, we get these by the minute. you know, comments like this. I hate useless pieces of filth like you exist, Brown. So here's someone upset that someone like me even exists. Hey, let me tell you something. We are not going anywhere. And there are plenty of people just like me. We love the Lord. We love the Word of God. We love our neighbors ourselves, which means speaking the truth in love. Our goal is not to be popular. Our goal is to be obedient to the Lord. Our goal is not to be liked by people. Our goal is to have our Heavenly Father smile on us. And let me tell you this, He doesn't smile on bigotry. He doesn't smile on hatred. Oh, hating evil, He smiles on that. But He doesn't smile on human hatred. He doesn't smile on pride. If I want to please my Father and have my Father smile on my life, that means walking in humility. That means loving others. That means blessing those who curse me. That means walking with respect towards others, even in the midst of differences. So you might say, well, that's a cop-out to say you just want God's favor. No, it's a lot easier to get human favor than divine favor, because God knows everything. He knows our hearts. He knows if we're being duplicitous or hypocritical. He knows if we're just putting on an outward show. He knows if we're saying one thing and doing another. So, sir, you hate that useless pieces of filth like me exist. Hey, I'll tell you the amazing thing. Jesus takes our lives and makes us into something beautiful. Yeah, when people hear my story, shooting heroin, using LSD, stole money from my own father. I didn't even steal it because I needed money for drugs, just to help other people. Getting radically born again at the age of 16. So back in 1971, going on 48 years ago, because it was the end of 1971, and you realize that God touches your life. Some of you have got some pretty wild stories too, some amazing stories where you came from. Jesus dies for us. Hey, humanity outside of the gospel, we're lost. We're all useless. Outside of God's redemption, we are filthy. But Jesus changes us and makes us into something beautiful. Some of you have stories that are amazing. If we could have seen who you were, some of you just who you were 6 months ago, some of you who you were 6 days ago, some of you who you were 60 years ago, and see what God's made of you. He's amazing. He's a redeemer. Hey, we're not going anywhere, and we're going to keep speaking up. In fact, we're going to raise our voices even more in the days ahead. Watch and see.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. The more the opposition comes, the more the criticism comes, the more the lies come, the more encouraged I am, the more steadfast I am, and the more I desire to raise my voice as your voice. So together, we can make a difference. So my invitation to critics, 866-348-7884. Now, we ask you to respect the fact that we're on Christian Network, so don't use profanity, all right? But if you want to give me a piece of your mind and tell me why I'm so wrong or deceived or in error, okay, culturally, morally, biblically, etc., it's not for you to give a 20-minute teaching on your particular doctrinal point. That's not what this is for, okay? But if you want to tell me why I'm wrong, I won't rebut you. I may ask you a question for clarification, but I won't get into a debate, okay? You've got a couple minutes to do it. If you ramble too long, we'll have to cut it short to be fair to others, all right? Fair of our radio time, 866-34-TRUTH. John 1:5 tells us that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't comprehend it, can't overcome it. Different ways to translate the Greek there. The fact is, light's going to shine. And darkness fears the light, but light doesn't fear darkness. Darkness can't snuff out light. Light puts out darkness, right? So you shine. It doesn't matter how dark it is. You've got the right light. Shine a flashlight. You've got the right light to shine. The sun shines. Doesn't matter. You flip the lights on. There goes the darkness. So never worry about the darkness. You focus on being light. You focus on shining. You focus on declaring truth, and that'll dispel the errors. That'll dispel. There's always going to be lies. There's always going to be deception. There's always going to be darkness. Always going to be opposition. But rather than being discouraged by it, be encouraged by it, because this is what's going to strengthen us to move forward and to minister more grace and to stand for more truth. And Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians 13:8, we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. We can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. So truth is going to stand. I do my best to get with the truth where it is and stand with truth. And by standing with truth, then we're on the right side. Here, here's another delightful quote. And this is just a sampling of what we get by the hour, sometimes by the minute. I do not understand how a committee gave you a PhD when you were so intellectually dishonest. It's pretty sad. See, that's the interesting thing. The folks that say you don't really believe what you say, you're saying it for the money, or you're insincere, or you're intellectually dishonest. You can call me deceived. You think I'm deceived. You think I'm dead wrong. But everybody who knows me, including the person in this world who knows me the best, my bride of over 43 years, Nancy, well, they'll tell you, I believe what I'm saying. I believe what I'm doing. You can think I'm on the wrong side. You can think I'm deceived. But I believe what I'm doing. It doesn't matter what it costs us. We're gonna do it. We're going to speak it because we thoroughly believe it. As for the committee that gave me the PhD, yeah, you'll have to take that up with NYU. You'll have to do that. And you'll have to ask them to do a review of my doctoral thesis, I Am the Lord Your Healer, a philological study of the root Alpha in the Hebrew Bible and the ancient Near East, which then got turned into, expanded and turned into a monograph with Zondervan, Israel's divine healer, in their series Studies in Old Testament Biblical Theology. Yeah, so you'll have to take that up with NYU and have them review my records there. Let's see here. And listen, Howard, I just need you to tell me if the folks that are on hold here are critics wanting to weigh in. I just need to know that so I know where to go on the phones, all right? Here's another one. And again, we get this day and night. Dr. Brown is lying about the Holocaust numbers. Yeah, me and scholars around the world and those that lost all their families and relatives, yeah, we're all lying. This is one of the ugliest lies, that 6 million Jews didn't die in the Holocaust. So this is the level of junk that's out there, but this is why we keep speaking up and speaking out, because people are this deceived. Folks, remember the Jewish Talmud says Christians deserve death. False. Doesn't say that. Misleading, very misleading to say that. As if Jews are going to go put Christians to death. Very misleading. The Noahide laws are coming soon to a country near you, Christians, to lop off your heads because worshiping Jesus is akin to idolatry. That's such a butchering of information. But notice the same person saying that is the same one saying I'm lying about the Holocaust. You see where a lot of this junk is coming from. That's why we keep exposing the lies. And you have to understand, with each lie we expose, then you get like 10,000 more critics or 100,000 more critics or 1 million more critics because they live and die by some of these lies. Or those that are sincere really believe it and are trying to do the right thing and are sincerely wrong, their followers will come along and blast you. But often the folks following are not as civil as the folks in front. All right, so Howard, I need you to tell me if these folks are critics that are calling. You can just put critic if they are. If not, I need a subject as to what they're about. How about this one? Everyone, before I read this, those that are watching, do I look okay? Do I look all right? Because here's a sweet one. Get a haircut, Jew. Yeah, so of course they don't like me for being Jewish. Get a haircut. I get attacked about my mustache all the time. But haircut, I got a haircut pretty recently. I thought it looked okay. Yeah. How about this? There is no rising tide of anti-Semitism, except in the fevered minds of the Israel firsters and people like you, Michael Brown, using this as a moneymaker. Got to go get those Benjamins. Oh, yeah, that's why we take the stands that we take, because they bring in a lot of money. You bring in a whole lot of money when you stand up against LGBT activism. It opens all kinds of great doors for you. And churches that never had you speak really want you to come in, and the networks that they can give exposure to your work, you know, the TV networks and radio networks, the secular ones, they just love when you address these things. And they just say, oh, please come on and share with us why gay marriage is not really marriage. And, oh, and of course, when you stand up against abortion, that brings in a whole lot of money. Churches are saying, oh, please come and preach to us on a Sunday morning why abortion is wrong, and we'll take a big offering for you. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then when you go over to countries like India, and you pay your way there, and you go there every year, yeah, you make a lot of money in India. I mean, some of the offerings taken up, you can come back with like three pieces of fruit and a vegetable. Oh, yeah, I've seen that in offerings where people bring that for the Sunday service. All that to say, forgive the sarcasm. Forgive the sarcasm. When you go into ministry, you do it because you're honoring the Lord, and you do it by faith. I don't know about your business, but you have to pray in funds every week for your business. You have to pray in money in order to do what you do the next week in your business. Or are you doing well, maybe with some money in the bank? Hey, we're a nonprofit ministry, and every dime that comes in goes right back out into ministry work. In fact, if you believe in what we're doing and want to stand with us for just pennies a day, there's a great, great way to do it and partner with us to help us keep doing what we are doing. So go to patreon.com/ Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown, and help amplify our voice. Become a Patreon partner. If you can only afford $5-6 a week, great, but $10 or more per month, but $10 or more per month, $10 or more per month, that will get you two bonus videos every single week as a patron. So go to patreon.com/ ASKDR Brown and join us today. We got our first 25 Patreon partners. Obviously, we'd like to have hundreds or 1,000 or more that will enable us to do so much more of what we're doing. All right, tell you what, we come back. I've got a few critics on hold, and I'm going to get to you right after the break. I don't want to start now because you'd only have about a minute or so. But this idea that there's no rising tide of anti-Semitism, you know, replied with some sarcasm about the money-making thing, but that's scary. When it is well documented and has been for years that anti-Semitism worldwide is at levels equal to the levels that they were at right before the Holocaust. When you have Jews in Berlin being told you don't want to wear a yarmulke, the kippah, the head covering, you don't want to wear that in public because it's dangerous. In Berlin today, where you have Jews fleeing from France and Jews thinking they're going to have to flee from England because of the constant anti-Semitic acts and violent attacks. When you have a rising tide of, quote, Christian anti-Semitism, the type that fueled the synagogue shooter in California, as he quotes all the standard anti-Semitic tropes that are becoming ever more popularized today, the tide is rising rapidly. And to deny it is to deny reality, or to buy into anti-Semitism and say, well, there is no rising tide of anti-Semitism because there is no anti-Semitism because Jews are just evil. Yeah. And the thing that's remarkable is that when people drink the Kool-Aid of anti-Semitism, they start believing every kind of lie. 9/11, that was Mossad. That was an inside job. And just whatever it is, Jews control the Vatican. Jews started the Reformation. Jews started Islam. I mean, just in the new edition of Our Hands Are Stained with Blood that just finished editing and revising, that'll come out in September, I update a lot of this from 1992 until today. Let me tell you, friends, it's chilling. It's chilling to see what's out there. Okay, we come back. The phone lines are open for my critics. So, again, you want to get right to your point. It's not time for you to give an extended doctrinal essay, but rather, if you think I'm way off, you get to tell me why and tell our listeners why. Calls from critics when we come back. Shake the nation, change the world. Shake the nation.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are opening the phones to critics. Now, for years and years and years, I asked critics to call and folks who differ to call. And we'll get it like on a specific subject, 866-34-TRUTH. We'll get it on a specific subject if you differ with me about the rapture, if you differ with me about Arminianism and Calvinism, if you differ with me on another particular doctrine, cessationism or something like that. We'll get lots of folks that will call. But when I ask for hardcore critics to call, it virtually never happens. Now, I know you're out there because you'll critique the show and then blast me during the show or after the show. Sometimes I don't see a lot of the stuff coming in on our YouTube chats and Facebook chats, but sometimes I'll see you. So you're watching, you're listening, you're blasting me, and I'll say, well, call, and we don't get the calls. So you may just have a mild difference with me. You may be a hardcore critic. Either way, we're just going to hear from you why you differ. But again, I just need to say this. If you say, I differ with you on this point, let me explain why, and you're going to now expound on your point, we don't have time for you to give an extended dissertation on something, okay? So what I want to hear, and I want our listeners and viewers to hear, is why you differ with me, why you think I'm wrong, okay? You can be nasty, you can be pleasant, whatever you want. Just remember you're on Christian radio, that's all. So we start in Massachusetts. Mike, thank you for calling. So where do you differ with me, sir?
All right, thanks for taking my call. You seem to be one of the most high-profile teachers defending or promoting being a Messianic Jew or Messianic Judaism. So the thing that I don't understand about that, and I don't want to be rude because I know you're looking for real critics, and I think a lot of the stuff that you reference are probably just internet trolls. I don't think most Christians really want to call in and be overly rude. But
by the way, Mike, I was just to be clear, I was not inviting just Christians. I was inviting anyone to call.
Okay.
It would be an internet troll. Yeah, but go ahead. I'm not trying to provoke you to be rude, though, so that's okay.
All right, here's what I don't understand. So I've read that Messianic Judaism started around the 1930s. You'll probably say that's not true. I don't know. But the largest Messianic body requires circumcision. I don't understand how Christians can require circumcision, even if they do identify as Jews. It seems like we should be leading people away from Judaism. I mean, that's how they describe the religion, Messianic Judaism. And the Bible says there is neither Jew nor Greek. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And on top of that, in Galatians 2, Paul told Peter, you know, even you don't live like a Jew. So why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? So if Peter himself didn't live like a Jew, why do you identify as a Messianic Jew, or why would you defend Messianic Judaism? Shouldn't they be Christians, part of the church? I don't know. Maybe you can explain that to
me. Tell you what, Mike, since you're asking for explanation, let me do that. So again, if you just want to blast me, friends, and don't want my response, that's great. But Mike's asking for it. So number one, Messianic Jew is used two different ways. It's used to speak of any Jewish believer in Jesus, or it's used to speak of a member of a Messianic Jewish congregation, okay? I go to a church. I'm not in a Messianic Jewish congregation. I go to a church that our ministry and organization founded called Fire, the rare times when I'm in town. I've been part of Messianic congregations in the past, but most of my life as a believer is spent in church circles. That's the first
thing. But shouldn't you, with your platform, be leading people away from Judaism?
I should be leading people to Jesus. Paul made clear, Paul lived as a Jew, as we see in the book of Acts, and Peter did. He obviously got like super Jewish at a certain point, but remember in Acts 10, he had never eaten anything unclean, all right? The first believers for several hundred years lived as Jews. They celebrated Seventh-day Passover.
Yeah, but the Lord led him away from that.
Where? When?
In the vision in Acts 10, the Lord was correcting Peter to lead him away from that. And when he started acting like a Jew in Galatians 2, he was accused of hypocrisy. So,
but Mike, here, hang on. So again, just trying to help explain. God didn't tell him to eat anything unclean. He told him to go to the Gentiles. That was his misconception. okay? They didn't tell him to eat unclean food. That was not the purpose of the vision. The purpose of the vision was to say, go to the Gentiles. Why does Paul take on a Nazarite vow in Acts, the 18th chapter? Why does Paul in Acts 21 offer sacrifices there in Jerusalem to demonstrate that he is not teaching Jews to forsake Moses or the customs? Why does Paul do that? Why does he tell the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 5 to keep the Passover? Why do church fathers tell us that Jewish followers of Jesus continued to live as Jews for centuries and keep a seventh-day Sabbath and observe the biblical calendar? Why was James, Jacob, the brother of Jesus, so highly respected by the Jewish community of his day that some speculated that...
So is this good? I mean, should we be keeping the seventh-day Sabbath? I'm not...
It's perfectly fine for...
Do?
Well, God never changed the Sabbath to Sunday. That's church tradition. Nowhere does the New Testament ever do
but
that.
Christians but Christians worshipped on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16, 2, Acts
27. No, it doesn't say... You got that wrong. You got that wrong, sir. 1 Corinthians 16 doesn't say they worship. Paul says set aside money on the first day of the week for an offering he's taking to help the saints in Jerusalem.
Well, they would have to gather together to do that.
But, no.
So
each one. No,
Paul...
Mike, each one privately. Each one privately.
It
was supposed
question,
to set aside money.
Question.
But I don't think you got to understand the point, though. Jewish believers, Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 7. If you were called, meaning called to the Lord in salvation, when you're circumcised, don't become uncircumcised. That's what he wrote. And he had Timothy circumcised, in fact, in because Timothy's mother was Jewish in Acts 16. But he refused to have Titus circumcised in Galatians 2 because Titus was a Gentile. So here's the deal. You don't have the seventh-day Sabbath was not commanded for the church as a whole. All right? That's the first thing. The second thing is, show me why it's wrong for a Jew to keep the seventh-day Sabbath that God gave to Israel. Does it ever say anywhere in the Bible that God changed that to the eighth day? No, that's Catholic tradition in the fourth century. So it's perfectly fine. If I'm in a church, we worship on a Sunday. That's perfectly fine.
Well, a person needs to be convinced in their own mind. But my final question is based on everything you said. It sounds like you believe Paul was a Messianic Jew and not a Christian. So should we stop referring to St. Paul as a Christian, that he was actually a Messianic Jew? And then shouldn't you speak out against the largest Messianic body requiring circumcision? I mean, I thought the church figured out 2,000 years
ago. Okay, so number one, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a Messianic Jew. They're different terminology. The first believers were called followers of the way. Should we all say we're followers of the way? That's how they were also known, okay? But Christian has different meaning to different people. If you go to Israel and say Christian, that means Roman Catholic or Greek Orthodox. It also means the people that killed Jews through the centuries and are responsible for the Holocaust. Okay? So that's why you say in the Yehudi Mishichi, I'm a Messianic Jew. Yeah, I have no problem saying I'm a Christian. I have no problem saying Paul's a Christian. I have no problem saying Paul's a Messianic Jew. The question is, what does that mean to someone? So we're trying to convey something. As for the large Messianic body that requires circumcision, I don't know what you're referring to. No one has the right to require circumcision, okay? No one. I don't require circumcision. There's nothing in our spiritual anything that we require circumcision from anybody for any reason, okay? So don't know where you get that from. But in any case, I am it's interesting you criticize me because I'm in a church. And that's the first thing that a Messianic Jew would take issue with while you're in a church than a Messianic congregation, because God calls us into different places. But Mike, thank you. Thank you for calling and expressing your differences. I think you may miss some of what I believe. So I'd encourage you to get my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. But thank you. And for others, I'm not going to go back and forth. Mike asked me to. But thanks for being civil. And I think you misunderstand some of where I'm coming from. Jesus is what matters. Jesus, following Jesus, being right with God through Jesus, Yeshua, that's what matters. His blood, the cross, that's what's central to me. And it's central to Messianic Jews, I know, as well. But thank you. All right, Miguel in Salt Lake City, what's on your mind, sir?
How you doing, Michael Brown?
Great, thanks.
So you gave me an invitation, or anyone, to come to call and blast you or to disagree with you. So I want to start out, I've been listening to you for many years. For a long time, I don't know how long it's been. And I don't agree with you on the end times. I don't agree with you on the Arminian position. And there's other positions that I don't necessarily agree or maybe understand. on, you know, so, I mean, to be fair, you know, I could be wrong, you could be right. But I do want to blast you with one thing, and that is
please,
with
go ahead.
I want to bless you, brother. I want to bless you. God bless you, because you are my brother. And I was listening, I was thinking, man, you know, he's getting all this hate mail, he's getting all these people against him, just because they don't believe a certain way or understand a certain way. You and I don't have to agree. But one thing on a few things, but one thing we do agree on is that Jesus Christ is Lord, Savior. He is the one that we go to. So I just want to blast you with blessing, my brother. We may not agree on everything, but but that's okay, because I could be wrong, you could be wrong, and it's open for discussion. So God bless you.
Hey, bless you, Miguel. And listen, you know, the things you mentioned, end times, Arminianism, Calvinism, we don't die on these hills. We don't, the hill we die in is the gospel, is Jesus, is the word of God, is salvation through the cross. Those are the hills we die on. And we have these other differences, but bless you, man. Thank you. And if you're just tuning in, the hate mail encourages me. The hate mail tells me we're doing the right thing, and we get it by the minute. It encourages me. The death wishes, I turn around as to health blessings and life blessings, what the enemy brings for evil, I in my heart receive as a blessing. So I'm encouraged, but I'm not a victim. I'm blessed. I'm thriving in God. But thank you, Miguel. I appreciate that. Scott in Canada, you'll get to start now. If we have a break, you can finish on the other side of the break. You're up next. Hello, Scott.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Go for it.
Good. I've been listening to True News lately, and they've been like just about against everybody that's pro-Israel, but they've been really going at you quite hard, quite negative, a lot of negative talk. And I was just wondering if you're aware of that and what your thoughts are and why they wouldn't, if they think that much of you, why wouldn't they bring you on the air?
Yeah, well, Scott, I called them out for their blatant anti-Semitism. There's no other way to describe it but anti-Semitism. Jews can be criticized like everybody else. Israel can be criticized like anybody else, but they've gone full-blown anti-Semitic. I called them out. They said, well, come on our show. I said, great, you come on my show too, or let's do a formal debate. They said, no, we won't go on your show. We don't want to debate, and you can't come on our show. We got back to them and said, hey, you just have me on your show. Let's put, nope. So they won't debate me. They won't come on my show. They won't let me on their show. That tells me they do not want their views held up to scrutiny. It's a real shame. They're doing a lot of harm. It's a shame, and they're misleading a lot of folks. Hey, Scott, pray for them, all right? Pray for them.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, just another note about True News. I didn't know who they were until, doesn't mean they're not big or that they're small. I just didn't know who they were until last year. Ran into them in Beit Jalal, Bethlehem in Israel. And, or as they would say, in Palestine. And then it was after that I learned how militant their views were on Israel and the Jewish people. So let me say again, Jewish people can be criticized like everybody else. Israel can be criticized like everyone else. And as I've been sent some clips from True News, they'll play clips from extremist rabbis that are ugly, bad clips. I sent one of the clips they played to an Orthodox rabbi friend of mine, and he was sickened by it. Absolutely sickened by it. But he said, Michael, you have to understand that this is absolutely not representative, that this is rejected by the larger rabbinic community and rejected by the nation. But so you'll play this fringe extremist quote, and you get crazy quotes from extremist rabbis. Of course, they're out there. Of course, you can have that in every religion, every group, all right? So they're out there. And then True News will play that to indict Israel, to indict the Jewish people. And, you know, you get quotes like this, Rick Wiles quote from a recent show. Our culture has been decimated through abortion, pornography, the sexual liberation movement, filthy, raunchy movies and television shows, vile, violent rap music and hip hop, and all of it owned by the synagogue of Satan. That's the type of unfortunate stuff that he's putting out. And then he says, I cannot be a preacher of the gospel and not confront the synagogue of Satan, even if it costs me my life, as if with him spouting this nonsense, Jews are going to kill him. But that, and again, so I get attacked a lot because we've called them out. And again, immediately after calling them out, copied them and all that. And they said, great, come on our TV show. We can talk. And I said, terrific. I said, but let's just make sure we do something equal here. Come on my radio show as well. Don't want to do that. How about a formal moderated debate? Won't do that. We don't want to debate you. You need to rebuke Ben Shapiro. This is what they come up with. So I had Dylan, my assistant, reach out to this Doc Burkhart. Is that his name? And say, hey, listen, Dr. Brown's willing to come on your show and confront the anti-Semitism there. He's willing to come on the show. And he just wants guaranteed equal time. So however much time your panel takes that he gets to and that the show will air unedited. Nope. Not welcome on the show. So we made the efforts. And even to go in that sense in the hot seat there. But just to give you a context in terms of how seriously you should take this stuff, my producer Matt found this book that Rick Wiles had written in 98 called Judgment Day 2000. America's darkest hour is ahead. A worldwide computer crash beginning in 1999 will plunge the global economy into a depression. Governments will declare bank holidays when panic spreads throughout society. The biggest meteor storm in 33 years will destroy several vital satellites. Violent solar storms will disrupt telecommunications and the electric power grid. Families will shiver in the winter of 2000 when electric utilities shut down. An oil shortage and severe drought will devastate America's food supply. Drinking water will be rationed by National Guard troops. Terrorists will launch a coordinated attack in America's 100 biggest cities. In this explosive book, author Rick Wiles will stun you with unheard-of facts about Y2K. To your shock and dismay, you'll discover the startling news that the media isn't reporting. So all that to say, when you hear this stuff from the True News people, take it with a grain of salt. You see what was being predicted in 1998 with Y2K. So just take it with a grain of salt and pray for them. I believe that there are Christians working there and Christians among them, and all the guys involved may be Christians. God knows their hearts and lives. I don't know them at all. But there's a lot of dangerous junk they're putting out. And it's dangerous. You can say all you want. Don't hurt the Jews. Don't harm the Jews. But you put out junk like that, it can lead unstable people to violent acts. And that's what we keep warning about it. That's what we keep warning about it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go to Linda in Belmont, North Carolina. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Brown. I'm not a critic, so I'm sorry I'm not going to be...
Oh, come on! I wanted the critics to... All right, go ahead, Linda. That's all right. I'm disappointed
I just
already.
Want to tell you, I've been listening to you pretty regularly for about the last 3 or 4 years, and I have given to you in the past, but because of all this extreme criticism, I mean, vile attacks, that it boggle my mind how a caller last week said, it's unchristian to support Israel. I was like, what? And so I'm going, before my head hits the pillow tonight, I'm going to be signing up for the first time as a monthly torchbearer and a Patreon supporter. Because And you need to be heard. And I know that you're biblical. Everything you say, I can go to my Bible right now and check it, and it's there. So I know it's not just like coming out of your wild imagination. And also, I was wondering... I mean, we're in about the same age group, maybe 2 or 3 years different. And I have seen, you know, throughout my life, waves of anti-Semitism in this country and elsewhere, you know, like synagogues being spray painted with graffiti, or neo-Nazis marching through a Jewish community, you know, things like this. But it always seemed to go in waves, and then it would subside, and then it would come. But I've never seen one that seemed this severe, I guess. This is intense, and especially coming from Christian side. And I just wonder, do you see anything prophetic or any kind of sign and as to why now? Why is this so severe? I just wondered what you thought about that.
Yeah, and first, Linda, thank you for standing with us. That really means so much to us. And you'll be hearing from us regularly, and we get to pour into a whole lot of ways as a torchbearer and now a Patreon supporter as well. But I don't know that, okay, it's another wave. There's no question about it. Rabbi Shmuley, when he was on my show a couple of weeks ago, And he was saying, look, in the halls of Congress, we're hearing things we didn't hear before. We're hearing from different places. So there's definitely a rising tide again. Now, are there reasons for it? You have a pro-Israel president. You have moving the embassy to Jerusalem. That's going to get a backlash for sure. And then you have the fact that the further you get from the Holocaust, the easier it is to forget about it. The longer Israel's here, the easier it is to forget how miraculous it is that Israel's here at all. And then as there's just more deception and apostasy in the church, it's happening. And unfortunately, it's been the norm through history. But hey, Linda, bless you for standing with us and know the truth triumphs. I have to tell you, the more I see lies coming up, the more encouraged I get, because it just exposes the work of the enemy. And Satan hates, he hates everybody. He wants to, he hates everybody. He wants to destroy people on all sides. He's the enemy of the human race, and we need to be in the Lord to be able to stand against him. But the more I see the lies rise, the more encouraged I am, because it exposes the insidious nature of darkness and the falsity of what's being spoken, so that truth will triumph all the more. God bless you, Linda, and thank you for your support. And hey, do what Linda's doing. At the very least, if you can spare 33 cents a day, I think most of you can do that, go to Patreon, patreon.com/AskDr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. And if you're watching Facebook, YouTube, we should have the address right up there for you. And become a Patreon supporter. If you say, I'm giving you like $2 a month, hey, you're not giving it to us. You're helping us put out more videos, put out more content, make a life-changing difference. And for $10 or more per month on Patreon, you get 2 bonus videos a week. Yeah, exclusive bonus videos. And if you become a monthly torchbearer on our website, AskDrBrown.org, $30 or more per month, every month you get a new exclusive audio message. You get a 15% discount in our online bookstore. You get an insider letter just with things that are going on, especially. You get free access to numerous online classes that are $50, $75 a shot. So we want to pour back into you. But let me just make this clear as we come to the end of the broadcast. If you say, boy, so many Jews in America are on the wrong side of social issues, that's not being anti-Semitic. If you say, it's just amazing how many influential Jews there are, like in the ACLU and the SPLC, these radical left groups, or a Jewish guy like George Soros just giving all this money to the wrong side of moral causes and subverting our very Judeo-Christian foundations. That's not being anti-Semitic. If you say, I don't like the way Israel treats the Palestinians, and I feel like they're, look, I see reports of them, and I believe that they kill innocent Palestinians and get away with it. That's not being anti-Semitic. You may be right or wrong in your criticism, but that's not being anti-Semitic. Being anti-Semitic is the Jews are evil. Being anti-Semitic is the Jews are subversive. The Jews are hostile to all mankind. That's being anti-Semitic. Being anti-Semitic is demonizing the nation of Israel as a nation. And when you believe lies about a people, you're being anti-Semitic. Hey, just a reminder, that's right. On YouTube, if you're watching on YouTube, I forgot to mention it. Right at the bottom beneath where it says Ask Dr. Brown, there's a dollar sign. You can click on that and support us right through YouTube. Whether it's $1 or $100, you could just do it there. So we're a nonprofit, so all this money that comes in, say, what happens if you get extra money? We bring on more staff to serve you better. We produce more materials to serve you better. We give away more free things to others. That's what happens when you're a nonprofit ministry. The more that comes in, then it goes right back out so that we can keep producing more material to bless you, to help you, to challenge you, to equip you. So all those that call to bless instead of curse, hey, God bless you. And really, if you're a critic and you're hostile, tell me why. Maybe I'm not who you think I am. Maybe we have more common ground. Maybe it'll confirm your worst suspicions. Hey, friends, special Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast coming your way tomorrow. Don't miss it.